I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. The music you're listening to is from the choir at St. John's Episcopal Church of Waynesboro, accompanied by its newly hybridized organ. When freelance organ technician Dan Smith came in to talk with me for The Spark, he was just about to begin working on this project. Dan, however, has been hard at work in the pipe organ business since the early 80s.
And one of the things that I get to do being in the pipe organ business is I do a lot of service maintenance of instruments in various churches around. And we are making some additions and enlarging the instrument, only we're doing it in a 21st century fashion. We would call it hybridizing the instrument. Due to budgetary restraints, adding pipes to enlarge the instrument is not really an option. So we are adding digital voices to the instrument in order to enlarge it and increase the tonal versatility of the instrument. And we've got some history involved here as
Let me be sure I understand this. You're going to be keeping the mechanical pipe organ.
We're keeping
part,
the pipe organ.
Just expanding it with digital.
We're expanding it with digital.
So on to the history.
Right. The history is that in the 1950s, we started seeing a revival in the pipe organ industry of a building style that was geared toward the historic North German instrument, the instruments of Bach, Buxtehude, what we associate as being Baroque, or you normally think of it as being the Baroque organ, or the classic organ, the instruments that most of our hymn singing traditions are really founded on.
As opposed to?
It morphed over the centuries into something that was actually more imitative of the orchestra. And that instrument really reached its climax in the early part of the 20th century. We had, the great orchestral transcriptions where, Sunday after services, the congregation would go back to the church and they would listen to an organ recital where a lot of times the orchestra was out of reach of the public. But they could go back to the church and the organist would play a program playing orchestral transcriptions on the organ. So the organ was designed to play the orchestral repertoire in addition to providing church service music, but it was also voiced and designed to be imitative of the orchestra. And this is something that happened over a lot of years. And then during the 1950s and into the 1960s, there was this revival and interest in the historic roots of the organ.
Back to Bach. And Buxtehude.
Exactly. And all of this is wonderful for congregational hymn singing, for the leading of the hymns in church, which is what I like to think of as being the reason why the organ is in the church to begin with. Well, here's a problem. Different denominations have different musical heritage. So the musical heritage of the Lutheran denomination is different than the musical heritage of the Anglican or the Episcopalian tradition. The instruments of the what we would call now the neo-Baroque revival are wonderful hymn singing instruments that are wonderful for a Lutheran congregation, but they're not really suited toward that Anglican congregation. So here we have the Anglican or the Episcopal Church who has an instrument which was built to the highest standards of this neo-Baroque style.
The highest Lutheran standards.
In an Anglican church. And what they want to play is the music out of the Anglican tradition. The instrument wasn't really designed to do that. It was never designed to be a choir instrument. It didn't have the lush, full-bodied sound that really is what the Anglican tradition is calling for.
So why'd they get this organ in the first place? Was that all that was available or affordable?
No, it was popular.
Okay.
It was popular.
The things we do.
It was popular. Do you remember avocado sinks and and bathroom fixtures?
Yes.
Okay. And within certain circles, the neo-Baroque instrument is still very popular. You know, there are a lot of wonderful things about that instrument, primarily in its ability to lead congregation hymn singing. But we run into a problem where there is literature that the church wants to be able to perform, which the instrument is simply not capable of doing because it doesn't have the right tonal resources.
And here you come to hybridize it.
So we are going to be hybridizing it. We are going to be expanding the instrument using digital voices. When we talk about digital voices, we are talking about digital samples, recordings that have been made of pipes, and they are going to be being played back as if they were pipes.
Responding to fingering on the keyboard?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. There will be a stop control that will turn on a set of pipes. There will be another stop control that will turn on the digital voice. And then there will be another stop control that turns on the original pipes again. And if you didn't know better, if you did not know exactly what it is that you were listening to, you would not know which was pipes and which was not. There have been some early attempts at digital synthesis, where you would go in and make a digital recording of an organ pipe and analyzing that waveform and then recreating that waveform. And that has morphed into digital sampling, which now we're able to play back an actual recording CD quality or higher than a CD quality recording of organ pipes. And at some point, people started integrating the two. Particularly in cases where finances or space became an issue, we could keep the integrity of the existing pipe organ, or we could even build a brand new pipe organ designed with this concept in mind, creating a hybrid instrument, a combination of pipes and digital. This is not an off-the-shelf product. There was no warehouse that stocks this and we're ordering a model X, Y, or Z. Rather, we sit down and design.
Now, who's we?
Myself. I had input from the organist to know what it is that is being asked for. I represent a company out of Canada, Phoenix Organs, and Phoenix builds a custom-built digital organ. I don't work for a living.
Okay.
Work is a four-letter word.
Okay.
I have been
meaning
there.
Drudgery.
Work is what you do when you'd really rather be doing something else.
Okay.
So I don't have to work for a living. I'm very fortunate that I absolutely love what I do.
You'll find a couple of pictures of organ technician Dan Smith not working, as well as some relevant website links on the Spark page at WMRA.org.